Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, so we're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair or on a couch in some way that enables you to sit up straight. And you're straight because people have neck things and back things, and so just do your best. And remember, please, that sitting on a chair is equally as spiritual as sitting on the floor. So whatever works for you is what's best. Now, today, before we sit, I want to say a few things about working with strong emotions. As you may have heard, if you listened to the last couple of videos, and if you didn't, no problem. This year, in these talks, I really want to focus on Buddhist teachings that can support you in your real life, IRL, everyday life, things that are practical, things that are useful, and certainly things that are relevant, I think, to everyone. And nobody, absolutely zero people, have to be Buddhists to put this wisdom to use, I believe. So you see what you think. So I have heard from you guys over time, and I hear this from myself too. How can I be a spiritual person when I have really painful, difficult emotions like rage, hatred, heartbreak, sorrow, and I get very angry at other people? Does that mean I'm not a spiritual person? Or we can just use that as an example. And how can I purport to be spiritual or on a path when I'm still beset by these very unpleasant emotions? What's wrong with me? So we'll start there. And the answer is nothing. Nothing is wrong with you. You're a human being and you have feelings. And so do I, and I don't think there's any way around that. So in the Buddhist view, there are three ways, one could say, to work with strong emotions that are so-called negative. And again, nobody has to be a Buddhist to find this useful, I don't think, but you tell me if it's useful. So the first way to work with strong negative emotions is to view them as afflictive, because they are. They cause harm. They cause us to do things that hurt others and act and make decisions that if we were in a more sanguine state of mind, we would not have made or chosen. And of course, the first person who is afflicted by the afflicted emotions is yourself. They cause the most suffering to you. So, okay, they're afflictive. And this first school of thought says you should try not to have them. As best you can, let them go. Do something else to get away from them. Work on that part of you that is triggered. These are really, really, really good suggestions. However, this is only one of three good suggestions, I think, for working with strong emotions, because at least speaking for myself, I could go, okay, I'll try not to feel this anger or whatever it is, or fear. But you know what? I do. And at some point, the effort to make myself not feel those afflictive emotions turns into self-aggression. And then we've punched a one-way ticket to Palookaville. We're not, you know, that's not going to get anywhere with that self-aggression. We're just going to get into a deeper battle with ourselves. And, not useful. But if you can let go of your difficult feelings, great. You're ahead of the game. That's a beautiful thing. That's one. Two. Point two says, okay, your negative emotions, so-called, are afflictive. However, they also offer a bridge of compassion to other people who you may encounter in the future who are feeling what you feel or the reasons you feel it, your heart will open to them without thought, without question. It will be immediate. It will be reflexive. It will be visceral. It will be true. So each difficult thing that you feel also opens a gate to understanding of other people who feel what you do. So if you just tried to get rid of what you felt, that bridge would be, you know, drawn up. So when you can't get away from your painful feelings, you could at least spend time investigating them, not to solve them or fix them, but to learn from them. What do these feel like? What caused this? What helps me? What exacerbates this? So that when I meet someone in the future who feels what I do right now for similar reasons, my heart will go out to them so immediately and directly. I will feel for them in a way that could be truly useful. So that's really important too. So that's school of thought number two. Negative emotions are bridges of compassion. I think that one's true too. Now, the third view says, okay, negative emotions are afflictive. Check. They're bridges of compassion. Yep. Check. But beyond this, every potent feeling that you have, or any feeling, is also a form of masked wisdom. There's wisdom in your painful feelings, not because they're like, oh, I'm learning something about my psychological issues. That's fine too. But what I'm talking about as the wisdom aspect is simply the energy contained by the feeling. So we'll use anger as our example. That's probably the most afflictive, the most difficult, the most likely to cause harm, primarily to yourself and also primarily to others. It's truly a dangerous one. However, parenthetically, there are anger masters out there, people who can use their anger to dispel difficulty and sorrow. I'm not one of those people, but when in the rare occasions that I've encountered such a person, I have a lot of respect for them. They're using their anger to cut through suffering, a rare but true skill. Okay, for the rest of us, anger, you could say, is a potent experience of being awake. Because when you cannot be angry and sleepy at the same time. When you're riled up, when you're ready to go, when you're like, whose fault is this? Let me do something. There's a kind of wakefulness and focus. You can only think about this one thing. Now, here's where we need to introduce a modification. Because the wisdom of anger is not in the thoughts that accompany the anger. The thoughts being things like, well, if they hadn't done this, or if only this would have happened, or I should have done this, or they are screwed up because of that. Cool, you may be absolutely right. Those things may be 100% true, but those are thoughts. And when we can let the thoughts go to find the energetics of the feeling of anger, what we will find, I believe, is some kind of wakefulness, clarity, the ability to focus. Wakefulness, clarity, and the ability to focus are forms of wisdom, and they're within the anger. But usually, we spend our time focused on the story of the anger, which, again, may be fully accurate and valuable. But if we want to find the wisdom, we have to let go of the story, at least for now, and feel the energy of anger in Vajrayana Buddhism, in Tantric Buddhism, called mirror-like wisdom. Within anger is the wisdom of mirror-like wisdom, the ability to reflect accurately what is most true. So those are our three ways of thinking about working with strong emotions. Afflictive, try not to have them. Bridges of compassion can serve in a very useful way in your effort to be a benefit to others. A masked form of wisdom that if we can let go of the story for even a moment, we will find ourselves in possession of an energy that is potent. So, things to think about. I hope it's useful to you. And I guess I'll close before we sit by saying, when you wonder, should you wonder, am I a spiritual person? Am I a good person? When I have these terrible feelings of hatred and anger, probably, I don't know. But when we use that as an opportunity to try to blame ourselves for something or see ourselves as broken and in need of fixing, we miss the opportunity to bring this anger or these difficult emotions to our practice. And I would suggest that the main point, the best way, in my opinion, to work with difficult emotions is to find a way to use them as part of your practice, whether by acknowledging them as afflictive and trying to chillax, or by saying, oh, these are bridges of compassion, this will conserve in the future, or can I find the wisdom here? Now, these are different questions than what the F is wrong with me, and cut it out. So this one is not useful. My experience now in over 30 years of practice is that everything can be made part of the practice. In fact, your whole life is your path, is your practice. What else could it be? So let's sit together, because this, knowing how to work with our minds, explains or gives us the opportunity to work with emotions as afflictive, opportunities to develop compassion, or possibilities to glimpse wisdom. Introduce a space between the stories and the feelings. Big deal. Thank you for listening to me. And begin your practice, please, by relaxing, listening to yourself, being as you are, including what feels good, what feels bad, what is unknowable, what hurts, what gives joy right now. In Buddhism, that's called relaxing, being with yourself as you are, allowing all of it to be so. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Sit up straight to your best ability, not stiffly, but in a way that enables you to feel your beauty, your grace. Let the front body be soft. The belly can relax a lot. The area around the heart, the throat. Three gates: intuition, emotion, speech. Whoever designed this made it so they're always open. So we can relax with that sense of openness in the front body, knowing we have this strong, powerful back to support us. At the same time, you're just sitting there doing nothing, so no big deal. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the breath is natural, in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. And by natural just means you're breathing anyway, so just keep doing whatever it was you were doing before I said that. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front, so the eyes are half-lidded and receptive rather than searching. Let the brow relax and the crown of the head reach up a little bit while the sit bones reach down right here. bring your attention to the feeling of the body breathing rather than noticing the breath or observing the breath or feeling the breath. See if you can spot the nuance between observing and feeling. Feeling is much simpler. Just feel the gentle expansion on the inhale and the letting go of the exhale. Be with your body as it breathes. Let your thoughts be as they are. A lot, a little, good ones, bad ones, doesn't matter. They all come and go, period. No exceptions. So you can just sit there as your thoughts sort of stream by, like a river running by your house or your apartment, whatever floor you're on. They just keep moving. It's incessant and no big deal. But we're right here, breathing. So let your mind be as it is. And should you notice that you have become distracted by a line of thought, not a thought, but distracted to the point where you spaced out. I no longer am aware of my breath at all. Excellent. You just woke up in the middle of your own mind, so you have a lot of choices in that case. And the choice here is to notice that. Label that moment thinking. Different than meditating. That's thinking. Let go. Whether the thought is beautiful or vicious or boring or important or funny, irrelevant right now. Just let go. And bring yourself back to this breath. And begin again, feeling the body breathe. And if you get lost, again, just come back. So we'll sit together in silence for a few minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me, and thank you for practicing together. And please know that over in the Open Heart Project Sangha, which means community, the membership part of the Open Heart Project, we're spending the whole year of 2024 investigating Buddhism IRL, how to apply these teachings in everyday life, no matter what your spiritual journey is. So if that seems interesting, there's a link somewhere here where you can explore more, and it would be wonderful to see you there, just as it's wonderful to see you here. And I will see you next week.